The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Today marks 20 years since Jack Dorsey sent the first ever tweet, a moment that helped spark a social media revolution that has reshaped how we communicate, how we see the world around us. But two decades on, the digital landscape looks very different. And joining me now to reflect on this, Adrian Wechler, tech editor with the Irish Independent and host of The Big Tech Show. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
20 years, a lifetime ago. Do we know what was in that first tweet? What did Jack Dorsey say?
Yeah, he tweeted at 10 to 9 exactly 20 years ago today. 10 to 9 at night. He said, just setting up my Twitter with no vowels, T-W-T-T-R, I guess. Space was at a premium at that point.
Now, the idea was that you could message people in a limited number of characters, and the idea was to get everyone talking.
Yeah, it was a fantastic idea. This, we're back in the, I would say, the more idealistic age of the internet and social media, when the whole point was about communicating, conversation, trade of ideas. This was largely before the mainly algorithmic model that we have now, where it's more like, you know, being shown a personalized version of TV or news or a different reality, depending on what it thinks you want to see. Back then, it was a time when, for example, Twitter and Facebook as well played a key role in events like the Arab Spring in March, you know, 2011, when there were uprisings in countries like Tunisia and Egypt and Syria and Libya, and people were using platforms, like particularly Twitter, actually, in those early days, to voice their protest, to communicate with one another. And it set a kind of a template, because even despite its decline and its controversies and the other controversies that social media have, which we might talk about, Twitter and other social media platforms are probably still the biggest real-time news platform, even if they are also used for a lot of disinformation.
Now, tell me about the growth of its capabilities. I mean, 140 characters at the beginning. So you could say, if you were clever, you could get a complex message across in 140 characters. Now you can do everything on it. So how did that change? And was it all to do with data centers that they bought or built, and therefore the capacity enlarged?
Yeah, so it was a beautiful original idea, because you had that 140 characters, and that forced you into being clear, concise, economic with your language. It led to fantastic wit, because, as you know, brevity is the soul of wit. But it was really based on their own technical limitations. They didn't have the data center capacity for people to be wittering on for, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs. Now, that did change over time, and it particularly changed in the Elon Musk era, which happened much, much later. That didn't happen until 2022, when he started allowing people to pay a monthly fee, and for that you would get certain privileges, including the ability to write, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words, let alone characters. But yeah, the original idea, which some of us still kind of cling to, is that if you have something to say, it's far more effective to say in one or two paragraphs.
Now, explain to me how it would be better than WhatsApp, for example, because you can message people in WhatsApp and you can include attachments of video or photographs or whatever. What does Twitter do differently for those who don't use it?
Yeah, well, Twitter, and if we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about X now, because as I mentioned, Elon Musk bought it 2022, changed it to X. The main difference there is that Twitter, or X, is a public platform. So if you were writing something on X, mostly you're writing that for an audience of quite a lot of people to see, and that can be shared, it can be screenshotted by anybody, it can have, you know, if it goes viral, then it could be seen by potentially millions of people. WhatsApps can also go viral. Anyone listening to this show right now will have received, you know, WhatsApps of jokes or ideas or memes that have been forwarded many times. But by and large, it starts in between two people, two individuals, or within a WhatsApp group that you're a member of. And I'd say the vast majority of us are probably members of too many WhatsApp groups.
So in order to get everything on Twitter, is it simply to be on X, right? I keep saying Twitter because we're talking about the 20th anniversary, but is it sufficient to be on X and you've got access to every X user?
In theory, you do. So there's a subcategory of that, in the sense that you can lock your account and only allow certain people you want to see your X account or your Twitter account. And that has become a little bit more common in recent years, because Twitter or X has become quite a toxic place, particularly if you are sharing any political views or any ideas on stuff, and even, unfortunately, sometimes scientific views, which you can be dunked on. People might take your tweet and say, look what an idiot this person is, and before you know it, you wake up the next morning and you've got hundreds of people from faraway countries or maybe even down the road saying that you're an idiot. So, but the general idea there of what you said is correct. If you post something on X, you are inviting it to be seen to a large audience. And that's the reason that most people do it.
Now, when did X become toxic, or was Twitter toxic before Musk?
So opinions would be strongly divided on that. The one that I tend to side more toward is that it became a lot more toxic, a step change in toxicity, after Elon Musk bought it. And that was for a few reasons. So if you remember, and Elon Musk is in the news today because he has just lost a court case in relation to trying to back out of buying Twitter when he drove the share price down. Anyway, he lost that case. But when he bought it, the first thing he did was to change the culture of the social media platform, to allow thousands, tens of thousands of accounts that had been banned for violating rules such as being homophobic or racist or whatever back on. So Musk has a personal philosophy around speech, which is kind of an extreme libertarian version of speech, which is to say that all speech should be allowed, even if it's horribly ugly and even if it sometimes causes bad effects. So that then changed what Twitter and X was in terms of the people who started to dominate it and to take over. You started to see a lot more polarized debate. It started to be championed and used by more extreme political parties on both left and right, I should say. It's often tagged as just a far right platform. It's not. The far left like it quite a lot as well. And that has gotten the company into a lot of trouble, by the way, here in Ireland with our own regulator, and in Europe with European regulators, most recently, famously, of course, over its AI bot account, Grok, which really kind of distressingly was undressing people and sometimes minors, and which it is currently being prosecuted for. So that was the key moment, I think, when, if you want to say that X or Twitter became a more toxic place, it was probably after Elon Musk bought it. To be fair to those on the right of the political spectrum, they would argue that it was a toxic place long before that, that you know, there were screaming rows and that people would be, you know, would be damaged or hurt before that.
Can we point to X or Twitter and say they changed the course of an election? I mean, and also the arrival of bots. These are, it's the short for a robot, really. These accounts that are totally fabricated, totally artificial, but controlled potentially by, you know, someone in Russia, someone in China, wherever.
We can definitely point to a few examples where that accusation has been made. I mean, in Ireland, we have our own instance where that was quite controversial. If you remember the presidential election, the first election where that Michael D. Higgins won, he was actually behind in the polls. He was second. A tweet came in which alleged that the front runner, whose name embarrassingly escapes me at the moment, I think it was Sean, a tweet came in alleging something which was
Sean Gallagher you're talking about.
Sean Gallagher.
I mean, I was there on the floor of the Frontline studio.
I actually forgot you were there.
I was tangled up in all of that. And
yes.
They said it wasn't an actual official Sinn Féin tweet, ultimately. But whether or not it was, who will know? Or someone well-disposed towards that party, we'll never know.
Yeah, but certainly there that is brought up as an example where Twitter had an impact in, you know, certainly on the run-up to the election. Whether or not it decided the election, we'll never know. But the thing is that Twitter, for all of its woes and its problems, it still is kind of the main news source. If you want to know what's going on at any one moment, it's still a slightly more up-to-date base than anywhere else. And I say that with a heavy heart, because obviously, you know, in the Irish Independent or in RT or News Talk, or we would all like to think that we would be the first destination place. And for some people or many people, we are. But really, social media has kind of taken over the news space. If you look at the Reuters and DCU reports, I think it's up to 56% of us now go to social media for news. And so it's catching up with TV.
Adrian Weckler, tech editor of the Irish Independent and host of The Big Tech Show. Adrian, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.